Rapp and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I say
Amen. Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay, we got Charlie, we got you on this Hoodwink Tuesday. Shot or no shot brought to you by...
That would be PointsBet. PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the PointsBet app. Get the lightning bets and the same game parlays. I'll have one tonight. Should be a lot of fun. It's always nice being on the couch and having a little action as you watch your evening entertainment. And, of course, if you want to do the horses, the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. My guy, Secretariat, good morning to you, my friend. What did you say, Shay?
Remember, you could also at Club Hawthorne sign up to win.
Oh, yeah, you could sign up to win $12,000 at Club Hawthorne. Go to the Club Hawthorne app, and you can find it right there.
Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Good morning, fellas. How we doing today?
Doing fine, thank you. And how's Badfinger doing over there?
Very quickly, before we get into shot or no shot, I get in this morning, and Charlie tells me he cut his finger yesterday. Mm-hmm. Okay, it happens. Then he tells me he has no Band-Aids, and he shows me his finger. He's got Scotch packing tape wrapped around paper towel on his index finger.
You know why that is? It's because that's how they do it in Oregon. That's it, because he's a man's man.
All natural. You're lucky I didn't come in with a leaf wrapped around my finger.
He tried. He did not buy any Band-Aids. No Band-Aids.
He's a tough guy. It's Morgan. It.
Rub some dirt on it.
Yeah, I actually cut my toe badly on vacation.
Mm-hmm. You hungry or?
No. My wife decided to leave the side of her luggage unzipped and had one of those little Bose speakers.
Oh, yeah.
And she set her bag on top of my pants, my jeans. So I walk over there and I lift up the edge of the bag, just the edge, to pull out my jeans. The speaker falls out of the unzipped side, lands on my foot. And I'm like, oh, that didn't feel good. And so I go hopping around. I got my pants in my hand. I'm going to go put them away. I'm getting some shorts out. I'm like, what is red all over the ground here? Blood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, like in Die Hard, John McClane with the trail of blood.
Yeah.
That was me. And in walks my oldest, Nick. Jesus, what happened? Your mother did not zip her bag closed. But of course, it'll end up being my fault.
Of course, every time.
No Band-Aids in the VRBO we had. Mm-hmm. No Band-Aids. So he took, he was awesome. He found some kind of tape.
Yeah.
And he took paper towel and he taped up, just like Charlie, taped up my big toe.
So ridiculous. Charlie, you
get
know.
Get a Band-Aid.
We didn't have any.
There's CVS on every corner. Go get a Band-Aid.
Guess what? I would have bled to death by that point.
Wow. From where he is in that desert island that he was vacationing on.
If you put Luminol in that house where I was in, you'd find blood everywhere.
Oh.
Kind of a murder went on in here.
Keep in mind where he was vacationing. Like, there's no CVS. There's no Commoners where he was staying, where there's a CVS or a Walgreens. He doesn't want to mix it up with the help and regular people.
All right, let's go.
Let's get into Shot or No Shot, boys. I want to ask about something Aaron Rodgers said after the game about how the Bears were different this year than in the past. Listen to this.
They did, yeah. I mean, they played a lot of coverage, a lot of too high. Mixed some coverage up, played some, held the shell till the very end most of the time. But again, Jalen is a premier player. But the other young guys played pretty well.
Shot or no shot, Jalen Johnson is a premier player in the league.
That's a no shot. Not a premier player. He is on this football team, but not in the league.
Premier?
Like, that's what Aaron Rodgers called him.
What is premier? I mean, he's...
No.
Is he a top?
No.
Every team has three corners at least. So we got 90. Is he a top 30 corner in the league?
I don't know. But I would say no. Because you know why? Because at a position, I want to see turnovers. I want to see playmaking.
Correct.
He'll get there.
Eberflus talked about why Jalen Johnson's not going to a Pro Bowl. He said, you got to have stats, and your unit has to be really good.
Fair.
Their unit's not. I love the honesty.
Yeah.
He said, got no stats, no unit. The unit's not good.
That's fair.
Agreed.
So, I mean, it's nice for him to say. Nice pat on the head, Aaron, but that's a no shot.
That was a nice pat on the head.
It is a pat on the head. Nice player, but I still beat your ass.
Right.
And so that's a no shot.
No shot.
Shay.
All right, Kaplan, you're going to love this one. It has to do with your favorite people over at Pro Football Focus. Braxton Jones grades out as a top 20 left tackle at PFF. Over the last 5 weeks, statistically, he has excelled in one-on-one pass blocking situations. He has given up very few hits, very few pressures even, shown a ton of improvement as the season has gone on, especially since the Washington game. There are 77 players qualified at left tackle. Braxton Jones grades out at 20th. Top free agent tackle Orlando Brown, who really has not been great this season if you've watched Kansas City, grades out at 35th. Shot or no shot? The Bears' answer at left tackle is already on the roster.
I'm going to say no shot. I think they're going to go upgrade there, and I think he gets moved over to right tackle. Has he shown progress? Absolutely. 100% he's shown progress. Do I think he is the answer at left tackle? Not today. But could he be? Certainly. He's a talented kid. But do I think he's locked in? At left tackle, we're good. Not yet.
Does Charlie not like shot or no shot?
He really had to pee.
I mean, what is that?
Hey, man. It's got a small bladder. What do you want me to tell
you? I mean, there's a lot of small bladders in the station. It's just, I mean, we're right in the middle of, like, our premier segment. I got to pee. Okay. Okay. Anyway, so I mean, it's the best segment that we do every day, and you can't hold out for another 8-9 minutes.
Apparently not.
Anyway,
soil themselves.
Okay.
I don't know.
I mean, I will soil myself for this segment. That's what I would do if I was him.
Don't.
I'm gonna get him a Gatorade bottle.
I mean, it's shot or no shot. You want to do it during Breer? Okay. We answered the question, right? Did I answer the question?
I don't know if you did. Shot or no shot? The Bears' answer at left tackle is already on the roster.
No. I would say no shot. I think that, as you say, always say, Shay, you know, you go to the top shelf, you try to be able to find out what else you could do at free agency or in the draft. And now Braxton Jones, like Cap said, he thinks he might be on the right side, whatever it takes, right? But I think that. That's a very important side. It's his blind side, for God's sakes. Pay through the nose for it, for protection.
Correct.
I mean, especially if the guy's healthy, whoever that is.
You know what the fear is like Orlando Brown, if you've watched the Chiefs, has had problems this year protecting the quarterback. Last week there was a play where he got Mahomes killed, and it just outright was his fault. He's going to become probably the top paid tackle in the league, if not top three, top five, this offseason. You're going to pay through the nose for a guy who's not as talented as he was when he was the premier left tackle in the league. That's the fear when you do it in free agency.
Yeah, that's fair.
I will trust Ryan Poles, who knows offensive line play. He and Ian Cunningham, his assistant, and let them make the best choice. If they tell me Braxton Jones could be the guy, God bless him.
Shay.
The Chicago Cubs are suddenly rumored to be all over the free agent shortstops. They have potential to sign Carlos Correa. Mark Feinstein reported on Twitter yesterday they could sign both Xander Bogaerts and Dansby Swanson. Kaplan, also, you reported on Twitter last night ownership has given the Cubs the green light to spend in free agency. So shot or no shot, the Cubs will be Chicago's most exciting team in 2023.
Oh, my God. I'm going to say that's a shot. That is absolutely a shot.
What?
The Blackhawks? No. The White Sox? Stop yourself. Not at this point.
What? Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to everybody. You specifically.
What do you mean the Cubs are going to be more excited than the White Sox in 2023? What does that mean? What are you talking about? You got a lot of work to do, pal.
I'm not saying that they don't. I never said they don't have to do work. That's what they're trying to do out there. I don't know what your club's doing. My team seems to be starting to move toward the deep end of the pool. Your team's over in the kiddie pool.
My club was 81-81 last year. You build on that. That's what you do.
My club finished 39-31 in the second half of the season with a moribund roster, and I was told last night by people who would know. Mr. Ricketts went in to see Jed before Jed got on the plane to go to San Diego. It's time to go. Green light.
At 39-31 came and get you on the L. Okay, so that's fine. That's a nice job that you did in the second half.
Yes, I'm sorry. We don't have any room for you here. Oh, wait a minute. Who is that you're with there, Jed? Yeah, his name's Correa. Carlos. Mr. Correa, take this seat. His name's Bogarts. Xander, with an X. Oh, that seat's available.
That's fine.
That's Dansby.
Yeah.
Say hi to Dansby Swanson.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go!
Well, just so you know, I don't know if you know this or not, Xander doesn't work here anymore. So that's a no shot. Go ahead.
All right. I have it back to football. The Vikings got a narrow victory over the Mike White
Jets
over the weekend, with the defense stuffing the Jets on four plays from the one-yard line, getting a late red zone stop to seal the victory. For Minnesota, though, the offense fizzled out multiple times. Kirk Cousins was 21 of 35 for just 173 yards and one touchdown. This became the ninth one-score win this season for the Minnesota Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
Shot or no shot? The Vikings are pretenders, not contenders.
No shot. That's just bad. They've got a lot of talent. They've got as good a receiving core as anyone in the league. Their quarterback's playing at a pretty high level. They got one of the best running backs in Dalvin Cook. Their offensive line's pretty damn solid. Oh, and by the way, if you took a threesome, their threesome of Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen, and Justin Jefferson, or KJ Osborne, it's as good as most.
Kirk Cousins ranks 21st in QBR, by the way.
See, whatever. Who gives a shit? I almost swore. I don't care about these stupid analytic numbers. Ow. Well, this one says...
Do you think that these analytics, they come up with them without watching the games?
Some of them.
Like, here's the top five. Tell me if this passes the smell test for you. One, Patrick Mahomes. Two, Tua Tagovailoa. Three, Josh Allen. Four, Jalen Hurts. Five, Geno Smith. Passes the smell test, probably, right?
Yeah, probably.
I think that, ultimately, though... The question is whether or not you think Kirk Cousins can take you to another level. That's all.
He has to prove it.
That's all. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Like, you feel like the Vikings could take another step. Well, that's the case if Cousins is just a game manager. All of the talent's there. I've been waiting for 5 years for the Vikings to finally get over the hump. I always tell Bursich, like, here's your team. Here's it come. Pete Bursich from Chicago, the color analyst of the Vikings. I text him. I go, here's your team. Here we go. He goes, I'm not sure. Let's just be patient, because he knows that Kirk Cousins is limited.
They're what, 10-2?
Yeah, they got the Lions, Colts, Giants, at the Packers, at the Bears.
Lions, at where's the Lions?
At the Lions,
at the Lions,
Colts, Giants, at the Packers, at the Bears.
They'll go 4-1.
Lions are favorites in that game, by the way.
Correct. Lions are playing good football. Who told you that 6 weeks ago? Take that. I'm going to tell you they go 4-1, so they're going to finish what, 13-3? They're 10-1. They'll finish 14-3.
That's good. Chicago's broken clock twice a day came through on the Lions. Good job.
There you go.
All right, coming up next, we'll get into the latest on the Cubs and White Sox.
I think
Sox.
The Sox just picked up a Class A guy in the Rule 5 draft. Good luck.
That's good. Well, get into the latest on the Cubs and the White Sox from the winter meetings right here on the home of the White Sox. You hear that over there at 35th and Beck? Guys taking shots at you. ESPN 1000.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Captain J-Hood. Morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000. We're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Don't forget, we got Greeny at 10, Carmen Yurko at 12, Waddle and Sylvie at 2, Black and Abdallah at 8, Freddie and Fitzsimmons from 8 to midnight right here on ESPN 1000. Black and Abdallah 6 to 8. Guys, listen, we've got a lot of information from Cap here. I was reading your Twitter. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of information about what's going on with the Cubs and the White Sox as far as the winter meetings.
So,
what do you know?
I was told that before he left Chicago and got on the jet to head to San Diego, Jed Hoyer was told face-to-face from Mr. Ricketts, that would be Tom, that would be the chairman, the family wants this thing turned around, you have a green light. Spend what you need to spend. Let's get some of these guys in free agency. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
People like to get wet. Isn't that what they said in draft day?
Mm-hmm.
Make a splash. So it sounds like they are all in on Correa.
To play what position?
Shortstop.
Okay.
And if they don't get Correa, the Twins are in there hard. He's looking for north of 300, lengthy commitment. He wants, this time, a long-term home.
For those that are driving and don't have the depth chart in front of them for the Cubs, so say you get Correa. You play shortstop, right?
Nico Hoerner goes to second.
Okay. And then what happens to Nick Madrigal? Third?
No.
Is that your little DH?
I think he's got to prove that he deserves a spot on the roster because he's been hurt. He can't stay healthy.
I'm sorry, say it again?
He's got to prove that he can stay healthy. He's never healthy. He's always hurt.
Oh, no crap.
Although I did hear a rumor that the Sox would be interested in him play second again.
No.
I did.
Yeah, that's fine. No. No. Someone told you that this is going to be fool's gold. I like him. I'm just telling you. Now he doesn't have a position on your team?
Well, there's also talk Nico Hoerner could go to center in the right scenario. Mark Feinsand from MLB.com, the New York writer, reported last night that not only are the Cubs in on all three of the remaining shortstops, they could sign two of them and move Xander Bogaerts to third and then either have Correa or Dansby Swanson at shortstop. In that scenario, if Madrigal's healthy and plays second, Nico Hoerner could be your center fielder.
You think Christopher Morel is better in center or as a corner outfielder?
Center. Corners are locked up in Chicago. David Ross made that clear. If you're coming to play for the Cubs, left and right are taken. Hap, Suzuki.
Okay. So Morel's out?
No, he'll have a role.
Doing what?
He'll play over the diamond. He's a guy who...
Is reserve?
No, I mean, he can play some third, second, center. He can play everywhere.
He's a Swiss Army knife.
He is. That's what he is. He's like a Swiss Army knife. He's like a Ben Zobrist type.
So you didn't project him as being just the everyday center fielder for the ball club. You just think this was a placeholder on a bad team. Like kind of like Patrick Wisdom.
Who, Chris Morel?
Yeah.
I think he's a guy that's like a Swiss Army knife. They'll use in a variety of ways, like they did with Zobrist when they won the World Series.
I see.
Zobrist played some second. Zobrist played a lot in left, and in the playoff run, they moved him exclusively to the outfield.
So when you're good, Morel will not be an everyday guy?
Probably not.
Okay.
But again, a lot of teams are liking to use guys in a variety of roles.
Who's playing first?
That's up in the air. They offered a two-year deal for $40 million to Abreu, and the Astros said, hold my beer, we'll go to 3 years, and the Cubs said, we're out.
So the answer is Matt Mervis? Is that it?
Maybe. They're also in on Trey Mancini, remember from the...
Baltimore,
and I think who did he play for? Who did he get traded to? Houston? Was that who had him?
I don't remember.
Yes. No. Was he in Houston? At the end of the year, he got traded at the deadline. Trey Mancini is someone that they have engaged with as well.
Yeah, he was an Astro.
But they have given Jed the freedom to spend, and spend big.
Yeah, these guys from last year, a lot of them don't matter if you're going to be spending big in free agency. And I wonder how many of these guys will he be able to knock down. Yes, you do have money, but don't confuse activity with accomplishment. Let's start seeing some splashes.
Both the Cubs and White Sox are engaged on Oakland A's catcher Sean Murphy, but that's a trade. And he is not going to come cheap. And I'm not talking about the money. I'm talking about the prospect capital will be extensive to get a guy like that. He's got a dozen teams chasing him. And the Cubs are also in on Christian Vasquez, the catcher who was with the Astros. He was traded at the deadline by the Red Sox because the Astros are deeply engaged on Wilson Contreras, as are the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, I was going to ask, so Wilson Contreras, this is with the Cubs, that's completely done now,
that's
right?
That's done.
Yeah.
Who's going to tell Morel to breathe without Contreras?
Correct.
Guy's going to forget how to breathe.
That's a good point.
See?
That's
a shame.
There was a meeting last week in Florida. Wilson lives in Orlando, and Oliver Marmol lives about an hour away in Florida. He's the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals.
The old Cubs.
They got together and I guess had a multi-hour meeting that went sensationally well. So now this week, Wilson's agents are meeting with the general manager of the Cardinals and his team to discuss a contract.
What about the pitcher?
They're in on, the Cubs are on Kodai Senga, but he has got the Yankees and the Rangers and all these teams. Rangers have just got like a bottomless pit of money. I also learned Trey Turner actually left money on the table, taking $300 million over 11 years from the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
the Padres had a bigger offer, big enough that it would erase the difference in taxes from Pennsylvania to California. I don't know where the Padres are getting all the money, but they were going to move Tatis perhaps to the outfield and play Trey Turner at shortstop. But his wife is from the East Coast. He's a Florida guy. He wanted to stay east. That's why he's a Philly.
You know, it's interesting. The haves, those that are spending money through the nose for talent.
Mm-hmm.
It has been unbelievable watching the Mets and the Rangers and teams. And they're saying, and as a fan, you have to love it in those particular markets, right? Mm-hmm. San Diego the same way. Dodgers the same way. We're going for it. If the Cubs fall short of that, you're going to hit the roof. Because the Cubs are one of those teams that fans used to hate. Oh, I hate when the Yankees and Red Sox outspend everybody else.
Correct.
Nowadays, a market like San Diego, where they are the only show in town. You don't have football there, Cap. You don't have hockey. You don't have basketball. In San Diego, that's the only show in town.
Correct.
And they're spending a ton of money.
Correct.
And everyone, and the Rangers, no one should be surprised. It's the Dallas market, for God's sakes. It's a top market in media and sports. They should spend money. Now, are they overspending? Well, you got to find out what the one-loss record looks like. Because, again, as a fan, you watch and you say, wow, our team is actually going for it. Yeah, you say, well, over a half billion dollars in salary. Man, how could you do that for you? Well, you're trying to win.
Correct.
You're trying to be relevant. You got a new stadium. You're trying to fill it. You know, you're always going to be second fiddle to the Cowboys anyway, but you want to be able to be entertaining throughout the summer. So when people come to me and say, can you believe the DeGrom deal? Or can you believe? Yeah.
Okay.
The teams want to win.
Okay, but I would tell you this. I was talking to my brother about this yesterday. But he's like, geez, $11,300,000. Like, if they're writing those checks, just think how much money they're putting in their pocket.
Of course.
They're not writing checks that they can't cash.
Absolutely. So that was White Sox thing. I saw a couple of pieces about the White Sox open to a blockbuster type trade. How likely is it that the Sox would trade Liam Hendricks? How likely is that? You saw it too, right?
I did.
Okay, so what do you think of that?
I don't know. I mean, if you're trying to win, you need a closer. Now, do you have someone on your roster that you go, that guy can close for us?
Mm-hmm.
It's not Joe Kelly.
No, it's not.
It's not Aaron Bummer.
No.
So who is it?
Unless you're going to acquire that in some way, shape, or form.
But if you're going to go acquire another closer, why wouldn't the team that's trading for Liam Hendricks just go get that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of giving up a haul of players.
All I will tell you is what I told you toward the end of the season last year. As a White Sox fan, I'm braced for whatever they're going to do to try to improve the ball club. You heard me say this. I'm the only guy that you know in your Sox circle that said this. You got to get rid of some of these popular guys and try to be able to reimagine and reshape this White Sox team. I don't understand, by the way, when Rick Hahn or Kenny Williams tells you, well, we have to play with edge, you know, and got to be able to play. The attitude doesn't matter. Wins matter to me. You're not going in spikes up on anybody. This is not 1965. So you say you got to play with edge. This ain't football. I just want them to play solid, sound baseball. That's what La Russa was here for, was to make sure that the team, the little things that they needed, that they didn't do under Renteria, they would do under La Russa. The fundamentals, the little things. And we didn't see that under La Russa.
We did not, especially in year two.
Right. So if they're going to make changes, Cap, like Abreu was the first one to fall. Not surprising. Not surprising he didn't return. But you got to keep going here. Some of these guys are comfortable on this team that are not performing or injured a lot. You better figure it out. And so with the Clevinger deal, people are raising their hands about, wait, hold on a second. It's a year deal. He's our fifth starter. Whatever you get from that is gravy.
Yeah, I have no issues with that deal. I think that's actually a very intelligent $12 million one-year deal.
Fifth starter.
Go back and look pre-Tommy John surgery. That guy was top five in the American League.
No problem. Go back
and look.
It doesn't mean you had to stop there with your rotation, by the way.
Agreed.
But I want to look at that.
Let me ask you, I know got to get to Albert. Mm-hmm. What are you doing with Giolito? He's a free agent after this year.
Well, right.
He turned down $50 million for 4 years last winter. Had a bad year. I don't know if the Sox would give him a bigger extension now. Well, he's a free agent at the end of the year. You're just letting him walk out the door?
Did you hear me say you got to get rid of some of these popular guys?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's, it doesn't stop there. You didn't win with these guys under La Russa. So what makes you think that, like, Grafal comes in here and is able to twist and turn everything in the right direction with the same group of characters? Grandal, you know, Aloy, guys like that. You got to figure it out.
Agreed.
So I just, when I see the Hendrix deal, I go, okay, if you can replace him with someone that's fine. Grandal is someone who is a DH that's playing the catcher position. You got to figure out what you want to do at catcher. Savala's not the answer either. There's a lot of things that Sox have to do. It may not be splashes, Cap, but there definitely have to be major moves and be a little bit more diversified in your lineup every day. You know, home run or nothing doesn't work for me.
Agreed.
How about getting the ball on the ground and and keep the line moving?
Agreed. And you got to add more starting pitching.
Albert Breer on the Bears in the NFL next.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
We see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, no, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
But Bert is it.
Every Tuesday at 8:35, we get a chance to chop it up with Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback and SI.com. Albert Breer with a bad back, but he still is able to watch Monday Night Football with his five, six, or six stockings underneath the big screen TV. He joins us here on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Albert.
I'll take any advice you guys have for the bad back. It is, oh, God, the worst. Low, it's like a lower back thing, you know what I mean? Like where you don't feel like you can bend over. It's just, it sucks.
Oh, it's the worst. I've had it. Hoodie had it two winters ago,
mm-hmm.
helping to shovel some of his neighbors. We've banned him from shoveling now. Yeah, ask your doctor for the Medrol dose pack. It's like you take six little pills day one, five day two, four, three, two, one. Knocks it right out.
Really?
Yes.
What's it called? The Medrol?
Medrol dose pack.
All right, you got to text me that.
I will.
I
will.
Yes, okay. And have that with your or your nightly beer that you have, too, by the way.
I think I had a sip of sunshine last night. You guys like that?
A sip? I thought that was a little bit more than that, Albert. Remember, we watch the videos at halftime every Monday night, so absolutely. And speaking of that, listen, you cover Tom Brady, and you still are. But, I mean, as I always tell Cap, at someone who's 45 or 44 years old, this is supposed to look like Jamie Moyer. This is supposed to look like Charlie Huff, right? And to see him have another come-from-behind victory, I know you can't be surprised. How amazing is that last night?
I mean, well, you want to talk about my back pain. I'm 42. Like, I'm having trouble making it up the stairs right now. And, so I'm amazed by it. It really is incredible, guys. And I just... You know, I think it informs so many things, you know, just as like far as how we look at like the Patriot dynasty and what was accomplished there over 20 years. And, you know, obviously the last 3 years in Tampa, you know, how he's just facilitated so many things for so many people. And, you know, I feel like the back half of his run in New England, we saw more and more of this specifically, where like it could look like crap for 55 minutes. And he could be getting knocked around for 55 minutes, and then in the last 5 minutes, he makes the rest of it not matter, you know. And I think a big part of it is his feel for the game, his knowledge of the game. And, you know, you sort of wonder, too, like you see him in the hurry-up, and he's calling it in the hurry-up. Maybe that's what the Bucs need to do. You know, maybe the Bucs need to give him more control. And maybe the Bucs just need him to call it from the line from here on out, because it looked awfully good. It looked smooth the way the whole operation was running. You know, when they were in the 2 minute there over those last two drives, so incredible. And you know, I don't know that we're ever going to see anything like him again. So I think everybody, whether you hated him or not, over the last 23 years. I think it's time for everybody to appreciate what they're looking at. We saw it against the Rams earlier in this year, and then, you know, of course, we saw last night against the Saints.
All right, so let's talk about the Bears. They had every chance to beat Green Bay the other day. Of course, our esteemed kicker can't make another extra point, so it's a two-possession game instead of one at the end. I thought it was Justin's best game of the year. What was your takeaway on how Justin played? And he said after the game, yeah, my left shoulder's sore. Would you run him back out there still, even though you're 3-10?
You know, it's interesting. I was at the Texans Browns game on Sunday for obvious reasons, and you know, I was talking to one of the executives that was on the sideline for that game, and you know, they said to me, like, why are the Bears throwing him out there? You know, an AC joint is something that can get worse, guys, and I would just hope that they're not risking further injury here, because to me, like, one of the biggest things coming out of this year is going to be Justin having a clean off season. And, you know, like, this is going to be the first time in a long time, because, you know, when he was at Ohio State, that was in the middle of COVID, right? So if you really think about it, like, he hasn't had a clean off season with a carryover staff in a long, long time, right? Probably since high school, where he can go through what he did during the season and use it to build upon an off season program within the same system that he was running. And the biggest thing for me right now, if I'm the Bears, would be, let's make sure that no matter what we do, whether we're playing him or not, the priority is getting him to the off season in a position having in the off season. He has a full, complete off season where we can continue to build on what we did in 2022 and position him to be even better in 2023. So that's the way I look at it. And look, I'm not a doctor, but I know those questions are being asked among other teams in the league, why the Bears are playing Justin. And I think the big thing for me, if I'm the Bears right now, with I think it's five games left, right, is to make sure that whatever you do, you're not putting him in a position where, you know, a good chunk of his offseason is going to be devoted to rehab rather than working and getting better.
Albert, what have you heard about Baker Mayfield, his pending parting of the ways and maybe a connection to San Francisco? Is any of that true?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting, Huddy, because you always think, like, you hear a big name hit the waiver wire and you think, okay, of course he's going to get claimed. And it doesn't always work out that way. So could he clear waivers? I think it's possible. I think the other thing that's sort of interesting about this, it's $1.4 million left on his deal, right? And San Francisco's obviously in a really tough spot with Brock Purdy as their starting quarterback, you know, a rookie from Iowa State who, is well thought of in the building, but no one, you know, projected him as a starter in the draft last year. And obviously, you know, like, any sort of, you know, deficiencies he has in his game, you know, those are going to show up more over the course of weeks rather than him just getting thrown into a situation like he did on Sunday. I sort of look at this, and if you're Seattle or Arizona, is it worth the $1.4 million to block this from happening? Because they can do it. And those two teams are ahead of the Niners in the waiver order. So I think there's a lot of interesting things going on here. I'm not positive the Niners would claim them. Maybe they would. He's got background in their offense, having played for Kevin Stefanski, who, you know, is a disciple of Gary Kubiak, who obviously is Kyle Shanahan's mentor. It would make a lot of sense. If you're Seattle or Arizona or another contender in the NFC and you're ahead of the Niners in the waiver order, would it make sense for you to put in a claim on Baker Mayfield just to block him from getting to San Francisco? To me, like, that's the really interesting part of what's going to happen today, because if the Niners can just be competent at the quarterback position, they're very much a contender. You know, it's the top two or three roster in the league. So, I think there's going to be an interesting game of chess when it comes to the NFC contenders today.
Albert, as always, we appreciate it, man. Good luck with your back. I know you're carrying SI.com, and I know it hurts. So,
well, hey, Cap, make sure to text me that.
Already did. It's already in your phone.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
You're the man. Feel better.
It is Albert Breer drinking his sunshine and having a good time covering the NFL for Monday Morning Quarterback.
Probably doing like you had to do two winters ago. Mm. Snorling wasn't here yet. You had to do the show. And I saw the picture that your wife sent me. Laying on the floor in your office.
Yeah.
Because the back was locked up.
You know what? You know what they call that in this country? Gamer.
And you know what we call it now? We treat your home like Aruba. It doesn't snow because you're not allowed to deal with it.
I wish that was the case, man.
Take that.
Have a bubble over that. How come we don't have heated sidewalks? That's the next invention, isn't it? So that way when it snows, it doesn't hit your sidewalk.
How about if you had like a huge bubble over your home and it was like 84 degrees?
In the Simpsons movie?
Exactly.
Hey, honey, I'm going out in the backyard. It's winter. What are you doing with no shirt on? It's 84 in our bubble.
Oh, that would be so good. That's next, man.
Like a huge bubble. Hey, hon, you want to go outside and take the dogs out and go in the backyard? It's cold. Not in our bubble. It's not.
Hear that, Musk? Next invention. Let's go.
That's it. Get off Twitter and get into this.
Deion Sanders is moving up to the Pac-12. So what's the problem with that? Oh, there's problems, according to some. We'll talk about it next. On Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's Home for Sports.
We got a few positions already taken care of because I'm bringing my luggage with me. And it's Louis. Okay. It ain't going to be no more of the mess that these wonderful fans, the student body, and some of your parents have put up with for probably two decades now. I'm coming. And when I get him, it's going to be changed. So I want y'all to get ready to go ahead and jump in that portal and do whatever you're going to get. Because the more you jump in, the more room you make. Because we bring kids that are smart. Say that, smart.
Smart.
Tough.
Tough.
Deion Sanders, so go ahead and jump in that portal if you have to. The Colorado players, Deion Sanders going from Jackson State to the Colorado Buffaloes. Cap and Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000. Cap, I just want to just talk about this before we go back into the Bears because it has bothered me. And it's obviously polarizing because there's a split in opinion on Deion Sanders going from Jackson State to Colorado. From the jump, Deion Sanders tried to be a Power 5 college football coach. He was not given that opportunity. It's like, yeah, you coached high school, and you did well on the high school level, but no one was handing Deion Sanders a job. So he went to the SWAC to be able to prove that he can coach. 27-5, he's got an undefeated team this year. I've been, as you well know, I watch SWAC football. They have family that went to a SWAC school, a couple of SWAC schools. So just the idea of Jackson State doing so well and Deion being there has been a compelling storyline in college football. He gets the opportunity. He told 60 Minutes last year, hey, if there's another opportunity, I will try to look into it because, of course, you want to. Mate, what was it, Shay? $300,000 with Jackson State?
Yes, $300,000 a year.
And what's this contract now, Cap, with Colorado? 29?
20. That's a fine. $29 million, I believe, with incentives, he can get to $7 million a year.
Now, if you just think about this, everything he had to do to make sure his assistants were paid, that's one thing. But also, Jackson State, like a lot of HBCU facilities, are down. Weight room down. It is way underfunded, HBCUs.
Correct.
And MEAC schools are underfunded. He was able to raise the bar of Jackson State. In a state where you don't even have a good running water because of the issues there in Jackson, Mississippi. Point is, though, is that he was able to raise the bar. And so, just like any other college coach, if they look for another opportunity, they take it. Why can't Deion do that? Why? And you read the same piece I sent you from Anscape that was written by Jesse Washington saying, Deion Sanders' exit from Jackson State shows why HBCUs keep struggling. Coach Prime is leaving the best black college team for a doormat program at a predominantly white college. When you saw that, what was your net reaction?
He's going from like $350,000 to $7 million a year. And he spoke to, I thought he was exceptionally forthcoming and eloquent when he spoke to the Jackson State team after they won their conference title game the other day. when he said, I want you to hear this from me. I don't want you reading it in social media or hearing from the media. I want you to hear it from me. In this business, you either get terminated or you get, what was the word he used? Upgraded, something like that. Mm-hmm. He said, there is no middle ground. You either get a better job or they fire you. One of the two. And I am taking this opportunity to go to Colorado. And I understand all that. I have no problem with... He said, I'm going to rebuild this program, and he delivered back-to-back undefeated seasons. Mm-hmm. He's brought a ton of money and notoriety to the school. You see the J for Jackson State, those hats. Mm-hmm. I think they did a collab, Charlie was telling me, with Barstool. And that stuff is selling like crazy.
Right.
So he's done his part. Now he's taking on a new opportunity. I did not respect the way he spoke to the Colorado players. Get in the portal, and I'm bringing my luggage, and it's Louis for Louis Vuitton, and we're going to change the way things are. Those kids do nothing but try hard.
Yep.
Because the coach and the administration didn't build a program. That's not the kids' fault. They show up every day and practice hard and weightlift and do all they can. I thought he was disrespectful how he spoke to a bunch of 19, 20-year-old kids.
I compare that to Ditka saying, hey, you know what? We're trying to win a Super Bowl here. Half you won't be here.
But those are pros.
No, I understand that. But it's the same idea, though.
Correct.
So ultimately, what I took from that is, well, I'm not going to the portal. I'm going to work hard because I want to work for Coach. I want to play for Coach Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're sensitive, maybe you should be in the portal. But I'm in Colorado. I'm trying to win. He can say what he wants. I'm not going in the portal. I'm gonna play to win for
him. I would have preferred if he had said, okay, this program has been down for a long time. And these are good people here. And I'm here to help get this thing turned around.
Well,
I'll give any one of you a chance if you want to prove to me you belong here. Just understand, change is coming.
My point is, Shay, is that here's a guy here that got a full house at College Game Day. Got a lot of attention on Jackson State. HBCUs now have their own app. It's HBCU Go. They're on the Griot Network every week. They have a game of the week. They're doing well because of Deion Sanders.
And ESPN Plus, like you do games
yeah,
there?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I think that he's done a lot to elevate it. And by the way, just because he's going to Colorado doesn't mean he's going to turn his back on HBCUs. He will still be working with them to try to elevate it as much as possible.
Right. So much of the discourse around this has been about him turning his back on what he built there and not staying loyal to it. This was always the pathway. Like, he was inked into the Florida State job. People thought Mike Norvell was going to get fired after this year and it was going to go to Deion. That didn't happen because they were better than expected. But he was always going to go get a Power 5 job. It's good for him. What he did at Jackson State was good. And then getting this job is good. There aren't enough minority coaches in Power 5 football. We can just be honest and say that.
Oh, yeah.
The SEC has had 3 black coaches, I think, ever. So we can just say this is good overall for the Power 5. It's good what he did for HBCUs and what he did at Jackson State, and we're happy for Deion. That's it.
There's no question about that. I mean, so the idea that he's just supposed to sit there like Eddie Robinson, and nothing against Eddie, but he was there for years, it's about opportunity. You're a winning program now. Now it's time for the next opportunity. Like any other college coach, why has Deion got to be in a box and stay in his lane or stay in place, as people will say? So just stay there for 20 years. Because if you stayed for 20 years and left in year 21 cap, you know what happened? You're turning your back on HBCUs. It's BS. You go for the bigger opportunity. That's what he did.
I'm not saying you go for it. I'm saying if that's what you want to do,
mm-hmm.
I know guys who have stayed loyal to the school there. Whoa, did you see what he did at that program? He took him to the NCAA tournament. He's got 15 different, now I'm going to stay loyal here. And 4 years later, they have a bad season and he gets fired. There is no loyalty in this.
We think we know Justin Fields the guy, but do we know that Eberflus is the guy? 2 minutes on Cap and J-Hood.